to Him and to grow in Him, yeah? Let's ask the Lord to bless this time before we go any further. Father, we thank You so much that You are in this room and You presence Yourself with us. You can be anywhere, but You prefer to presence Yourself with us because we are Your children. You want to come here and you want to just give us gifts and things from heaven that we know not of. Even right now, I pray, Lord, if there are things that You want us to receive today, I just pray that You freely give us so that we will freely receive. And we give You thanks, dear Lord, in Jesus' name. And God's people say, Amen. Amen. Our theme for 1 Corinthians is a very beautiful three-word phrase which came out of pastor's preaching. We were all talking in our room. The pastor's having a meeting. And then this phrase came out and we said, why not? We can actually adopt a phrase that was used in pastor's sermon and use it as our theme, living His story. Imagine God allowing us and inviting us to live His story. God has a script and He allows us to be the cast of His story. That's amazing. That's amazing. But I think to be able to live His story, we need to know who or what is in the center of our being. Because centrality is the middle of something or the center of something. Centrality is what is most important. Now, the reason why I talk about centrality is because the topic for today, as you can see from the bookmark, is the centrality of the cross. So in order for us to be able to live God's story well, we need to know what occupies the center of our being. We need to know who is the center of our life so that we can live out what is most important in the life that God has entrusted you. And my question today then is, what is the centrality of your life? What is the middle and the center of your life? Because if you know your center, that will give you your identity. If you know what you are living for, if you know what your purpose is, that becomes your identity. And for us as believers, it is not just knowing who you are. Identity is not just knowing who you are. Identity is also knowing whose you are. Who do you belong to that gives you the identity? It's not just what you do in your accomplishment. It's whose are you? Who do you belong to that will give you that identity? And for today, we're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And Paul was given this question to answer. I mean, it's not there, but Paul was given this question to answer. What exactly is your centrality? What is the center of your life? Paul was asked. And Paul said confidently, his center was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. It was the centrality of the cross. So if you look at 1 Corinthians 2:2, you get the answer there. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, he says, "For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." His centrality was the Lord Jesus and Him crucified. His centrality was the cross. And he's so right, because it echoed what Cecil Alexander says in his hymn. He says, "There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in. Only Jesus could unlock the gate of heaven and let us in." Today there is a lot of emphasis on the cross. The songs talks about the cross. Communion talks about the cross. The cross is the highest revelation of God's divine righteousness and mercy, and highlights that man is sinful and guilty and needs divine pardon. You see, at the cross reveals the old Adam life. The old Adam life is so poisoned by the serpent, it cannot be renovated, it cannot be improved, it cannot be set free. But it's only at the cross that God brings the old Adam life to an end. God says, it's finished, it's done. The old Adam life can go because it is beyond repair, it is beyond redemption. And it's only at the cross, through the Lord Jesus Christ, that God created a new humanity. You see, if man believe there is no fall, then there is no need of the cross. But Paul thinks radically different. Because on the road to Damascus, Paul found that he was brought to that place where he saw his utter sinfulness. He realized that he was a man doomed to death. He was beyond repair, he was fallen, and he was beyond redemption. And it was then that he embraced the centrality of the cross. It was then that he so believed the cross and he so believed the Lord of the cross. It was then that his center was changed. It was activated by the Holy Spirit when he embraced the cross. It was activated by the Holy Spirit and a new personality emerged. A new creation emerged. His vision changed, his mission changed, his value changed. You see, if we want to talk about identity, our identity comes when we begin to make the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified as our center. Because if Christ is not Lord of all, then Christ is not Lord at all. And when Christ is all in all, and He's the grand subject of all that you are living for, He's the grand subject of all your lives, then He will subdue all the self-consciousness that we sometimes do have, and He gives us a new identity. Paul says, no longer am I weak and trembling and fearful. I am a demonstration of the Spirit's power. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 4 to 5, he says, we are a demonstration of the Spirit's power. We are a people of faith resting on God's power. Wow, if we only know that, then that is our identity. Paul discovered it on the road to Damascus. I discovered it when I was in senior school. When I went to the youth club and I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, I became, unbeknown to me, a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You became a demonstration of the Spirit's power the day when you received the Lord Jesus Christ and embraced the centrality of the cross. You see, our identity is not our style. Our true identity is not our style, because Paul's style didn't define him. He came to the Corinthian church, when we read the scriptures just now, he came to the Corinthian church with weakness, with great fear, with great trembling. And his message and his preaching were not with wise and persuasive words. But that wasn't his identity. Thank God my identity is not built on how I produce today. Phew, that's a lot of stress taken off. Because sometimes we think, you know, this sermon defines who I am. I am not just who I am through my sermon. You understand that, huh? I'm more than that. Hey, wow. That's freedom, man. Okay, so Paul realizes that it was not his preaching, it was not his wise words that was going to define his identity. Because our identity doesn't come from our eloquence or our articulation or from your skill or from what you do. Because what happens then if we are no longer articulate? You are no longer eloquent. You are no longer able to do what you are doing. Then where is your identity? What is the center of your life? So that's why how we are, what we do, is not a proof of our identity. And we found out from Paul where his identity lies. It lies in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 2 to 5. So keep your Bible very tightly by your side, because we're going to really go through the whole chapter, yeah? I'm going to take it bit by bit, but we're going to go through every word in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Paul says, I came to you in weakness with great fear and trembling. My message and my preaching were not with wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on human wisdom, but on God's power. Now today, if we are struggling with our identity, wondering what we must do more or what we must do less in order to be who you are, we need to really surrender that center to the Lord Jesus Christ. Because our identity comes from our belief and our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ as the crucified Christ. Only then can we be a demonstration of the Spirit's power. You look at Queen Esther. Queen Esther's identity was not the fact that she cleared the whole line of the unnamed queen and she became the ultimate queen. No, her identity is not that. Her identity was when she was able to demonstrate the power of God, to be willing to be used by God to save the Jews when she was a queen. Peter's identity was not locked into his betrayal. Thank God. He wasn't a failure just because he denied Jesus. His identity was not tied up, was not locked in to the betrayal of Christ. Because he demonstrated the power of God after that really bad experience of denying Jesus, where he lived out the commission of Jesus to feed the sheep. That's his identity. He was a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's his identity. Dorcas' identity was not taken away just because she became a widow. Just because she lost the most important person in her life, her identity was not defined by that experience. She demonstrated the power of God when she discovered her sewing skills. Do you know sewing can be a skill that can be used by God, that can go down even into the scriptures? Dorcas' reputation went beyond her. She was not known for any other thing except that she had a great heart, a heart full of empathy for widows, and she sewed for them. Wow, sewing becomes known as a demonstration of the Lord's power. Queen Esther, Peter, and Dorcas all have one thing in common, and that is their centrality is in the cross. Their belief is in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And it was only when they were able to establish the identity that they belong to the Lord Jesus. The identity is because of whose they are, whose they belong to. When that is surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ, then you are not afraid to act out of that center with great freedom. With great freedom. I like it just now, a bit more resonant. Just now I felt that I was very free. Is it better? Yeah. Oh, yes, it's coming back. Right. It's only when you know what is in your center. It's only when you embrace the centrality of Christ in your very being and in your faith that you begin to be able to act out of that center with great freedom. Oh, today we sang the song, "There is great freedom in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." My second point is this, that we can have the freedom of Christ when we embrace the centrality of the cross. Let's look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Verses 1 and then 6 to 9. It says there, "And so it was with me, brothers and sisters. When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that was hidden, that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love Him. Wow. And then in Galatians 5:1, it says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. I believe that when we know how to let the Lord be in the center of our lives, we will experience a freedom. To be free is to be released from the patterns of your thought and your behavior that can run counter to God's ideal plan for us. You know, we can be so easily gone astray. It's so easy. But to be free is to be free from those radical wanting to go away from the Lord, but to be able to stay close and be attached to what the Lord is and what the Lord wants for us. When Paul was in that culture at that time, there were many, many expectations round about him. But Paul went about his assignment of preaching to the Corinthian church with freedom. I don't know what God has put into your hands to do at work in terms of what do you do in your vocation, in your work. But you may be in the middle of a lot of expectations. But I pray that like Paul, you will go about the assignment, whatever God has given to you to do, that you will go about it with freedom. Because Paul simply spoke the message of wisdom. Paul declared freely God's wisdom, and he was relaxed. I was just reading some things about the Lord Jesus Christ, and one of the authors was asking, he says, do you know what is one word that would describe the Lord Jesus Christ? I was shocked. I've never heard this before in my life. Maybe one day I will preach about it. I was told there's one word that describes the Lord Jesus Christ, and that he is relaxed. Wow. I love that. Because there is so much freedom that when God has given you an assignment, that you go about the assignment with great freedom and that you are relaxed. It is good to know what Paul is going through, because if you know what Paul is going through, you will know why it is very easy not to be relaxed. Because Paul was in the middle of a culture where verbal debate was premium. If you can speak very well, you have it in Paul's culture. Because the Greeks were huge on wisdom. That's why UWA, where I came from, they are very much fashioned after the Greek philosophy. And our motto, those who are going to UWA, your motto, very much fashioned after the Greek philosophy, is to seek wisdom. Okay. The Greek are very big on wisdom learning. They are very big on philosophy. They are very big on oratorical skills. They are very good in giving wise and strong arguments. They are just very good debaters. They are brilliant. They would come to the marketplace and then exchange their most brilliant idea with the most brilliant teacher and see who goes out with the most brilliant philosophy. That's their job. They love it. They just get educated for that purpose, just to show off and to show forth and then to be able to talk about themselves as being wise. Now, not only was Paul in this culture where the Greeks are like that, the Jews are also like that. But the Jews are quite different. They view learning quite differently. They view that if you want to be wise, then you need to be legalistic. You need to obey everything that God has commanded you. And they have got 500 over rules and commandments on top of what God has commanded, the 10 commandments. To make sure that you really get yourself wisened up by the way you follow the Lord's law. So I think it is no fun. It is no fun to live in those times, because if you are not good in the way you speak, or you cannot retain the things that God has told you and you obey everything that God tells you, then you will not be able to measure up, then you'll be sidelined. Oh, not easy. But you know what? I think sometimes that's the sort of society we live in, where comparison is the means by which one develops oneself. right? Sometimes society can be a place where you just compare and compare, and then you feel you lack the freedom or the relaxed composure to go about learning because the society has that sort of a expectation. Paul has that. Paul has that. But let's see how Paul, because he embraced the centrality of the cross, let's see how Paul could get out of this situation without conforming to its mold. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 2, he says, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom. I did not speak a message of wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. See, Paul's centrality was not human wisdom. Because human wisdom, Sikh wisdom, there are many shades of human wisdom. There are also many counterfeits of wisdom. You look at Google, you don't know who to listen to because there are so many counterfeits of wisdom. Some people look very wise, but they are not wise. Some people don't look very wise, but they are actually quite wise. Where is the yardstick? And so Paul says, hey, my centrality is not on human wisdom. My centrality is not on the counterfeit of wisdom, and I will not let the shades of wisdom intimidate me into not speaking or into doing the things God has put into my heart. So what did he say? He says, I did not come to you with eloquence. I did not come to you with all the shades of wisdom that you are expecting. I am free of comparisons. I am free from the pressure to conform to the norm. He's free. He made a choice. He made a choice, and his choice was the centrality on the cross and the centrality on the Lord of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Because if you let comparison be the trap, then very often, your freedom will be curtailed, your freedom will be restrained, because comparison can kill the freedom God wants you to have. Hallelujah. Are there people you're comparing yourself with? Are there people that people are comparing you with? Are there standards that you are always comparing yourself with, and every day you beat yourself up because you cannot follow that yardstick? Hey, look, I'm a learner. I love to learn. I look at good things. In fact, one of the year, my theme was to learn from the best. I learn from the best, but comparison is a different ball game. You can learn from the best, but you don't have to compare. Because if you compare, then comparison can kill the freedom that God wants you to have. God wants you to embrace the cross that was brought to us with great price. And it was only in the cross that God can give you great liberty. But you need to do it His way. We need to be aware of what obstacle can be in our way to make us less free. I pray that today your centrality will be in the cross. And this is very, very profound. It is only in the cross that the wisdom of God will be revealed. Because Christ, if you read at 1 Corinthians 2:7, Christ is the mystery that has been hidden for ages, for many thousand years. Christ has been hidden. He was a mystery. He was a mystery to the Jews in the Old Testament. He was a mystery to the priests in the Old Testament. But we New Testament people, we New Covenant people, the Lord Jesus Christ was revealed as the Lord of glory. Where? On the cross. The Lord earned His glory by going to the cross. And so therefore, when you embrace the cross, when you give your life to follow Jesus and you take up your cross daily, Bible tells us you'll be so free in 1 Corinthians 2:9. You'll be so free that you will step into the things God has prepared for those who love Him. God loves us this morning. Oh, not just this morning. But God loves us this morning as a group. God loves us individually wherever we are every other day. But God loves us. And when we hold dearest the centrality of the cross, and when God reveals himself to us as the Lord of glory, then you will be able to do things that no eye has seen, no ear has heard, and no human mind has conceived. I totally believe in that. In fact, all these years as a Christian, I live to see the wisdom of God revealed in my life and in the church's life. God wants to merge his identity with us. He says, live my story. I've got a script for you. I want you to be the actor, actress of this script. And I want to be able to release this plan into your hands and be free, relax, to act out this script. Because when you are free and you are relaxed, you act out the best spiritual life that you can act out. Freedom. Pastor Yin and Denise Weaver, last week when they came over to us, they prophesied, Pastor and Pastor Pauline, when they came, they prophesied that there will be a new sound in the house. There's a new level of God in this house. I just pray that we will all have a part, a significant part to play in hearing this new sound and in experiencing this new level in God, because God wants us to live his story. I believe God wants to do that, to give us the identity, to help us know how to do it, and that is to put Jesus in the center, because God wants to develop something in us that is really important. God wants to reveal and to unveil a competence in us. Now, this is from the scriptures. If you look at 2 Corinthians 3:6, I'm going a little bit beyond into 2 Corinthians. You know, when I found this word competent in the scriptures, wow, my heart just leaped. God has made us competent as ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter of the spirit, for the letter kills, but the spirit gives life. God wants us to be competent ministers of life. And that's why, Pastor, you said just now that we are the safest and most loving, or is it something? Safest and happiest people. And I want to add that we are in the midst of people who have the life, because we are made to be competent in this spirit giving life of ours. If you look at 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16, there's a lot of scriptures today, but we are going through every one of them. And I pray that you will go back and read it over again, because there's so much that you can gain from those scriptures. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 10 to 16, it says, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not a spirit of the world, but a spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the person. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We are brought into covenant relationship with God. That means God brings us into an everlasting bond with him. Because God wants to equip us. He knows that this world is difficult to live in. God wants to equip us with competence. Competence means you have adequate power. You have the ability, complete ability, to do whatever assignments God has given to you to do. God wants to equip you through His relationship with you. So if you know whose you are, if you know who you belong to, and that this covenant cannot be broken, because God is a God of no condition, and He is not just going to break it just because He doesn't feel like you are the right person today. He's not going to do that. No father will do that. No grandmother would do that to a grandson. Never. God will never do that. But God wants to equip us with competence. In other words, He wants to give us adequate, sufficient strength, power, whatever resources, to do whatever assignments He has given to us in life. Why? Because we have the mind of Christ. Do we get this mind of Christ just like that? No. Because of the cross, the Lord Jesus Christ transferred His mind to us, because we are His new creation. We are the new personality created by the Holy Spirit. We are the new humanity that God has in mind through the born again experience. We have the competence of Christ to live out His story. Amen. Hallelujah. And that's why we need to know this mind of Christ that is in us. We need to recognize those things that God has given us, those free gifts that God has given us, so that we can really live our life to the maximum power that God has intended for us to have. And the three things are mentioned in the scriptures here in 1 Corinthians 2. The first thing is God wants to reveal to you deep things. He wants to tell you deep things. These deep things are in God and with God. Some people spend a lot of money going overseas to spiritual places. Some countries are known to be spiritual, and some people would spend money going to these places to find out the deep things. I am for touring, but hopefully we don't just go touring to find the deep things of God. Hopefully it's only for relaxation, and if God speaks to us, that's great. But we don't go in pursuit of deep things, because deep things are in Christ. So we need to go to Him. And where is Christ? Here He is, in this room. Where is Christ? In your house? There in your house and in your heart. Go and seek out these deep things from God. Some people go from church to church to look for deep things, to see whether there's any deeper things. There's not going to be any deeper things. All the deep things are in God. When you pray, when you fellowship with people, when you have a cup of coffee, when you talk about God, there are deep things God wants you to receive. You don't have to look for them. In fact, the Bible tells us the Spirit is the one that goes around looking for deep things. You read the scriptures in 1 Corinthians 2. The Spirit searches the world for deep things. And then what do? We just receive those things. You just receive those deep things. Maybe now you are receiving a deep thing. Maybe afterwards you're going to receive a deep thing. I don't know when you're going to receive a deep thing, but you know what? The Spirit searches for those deep things, and then He tells you. And then when you receive it, that's when you get the deep thing. We were in Canberra 2 weeks ago, and I was in Canberra because I thought that would be a nice place to go to. I've been to all the other states of Australia. I thought Canberra would be a good gem to just top up my, you know, touring of Australia. And that was my idea. I never knew that God has a deep thing for me in Canberra. I tell you what, when the car was going towards Capitol Hill, and we were in this huge avenue and this boulevard just going towards Capitol Hill, and then setting foot into Parliament House, just knowing where the things belong, God did a deep thing with me. I tell you what, God showed me something. God helped me experience something. God helped me experience the pride of being an Aussie. I felt so proud being an Aussie. You tell me, but you have been an Australian for so many years, you only feel proud only then? Well, I know I'm an Australian, but I really felt the experience of a deep thing that God has shown to me when I was there in that place. Deep things come from the Spirit. All you have to do is to receive it. I don't know what is the purpose of that. I don't know. I think it's a great luxury to be so proud of being an Aussie in a place that you are standing on. You know, in fact, I was praying for the seat of our new Prime Minister from that distance that we were given by the tour guide. And I just experienced a deep thing. I didn't plan it. You didn't plan it, maybe some of the things that you have experienced, but God wants to show us deep things so that you can be competent in the things that you do. The second thing is God wants to give you Spirit-taught lessons. God wants you to embrace the center of the centrality of the cross, because it is when you embrace it that you will receive Spirit-taught lessons. We were told here that the Holy Spirit, our God, wants to teach us in 1 Corinthians 2:13 spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. God knows that there's a higher nature in us. Only God knows, because He knows the deep things. So you know there's a higher nature in you. Sometimes it's being ignored by the education system. Sometimes it's being neglected because of your upbringing, whatever it is. But God knows the higher nature in you, and God wants to develop that. And the Spirit is the one that can search through all the recesses of your heart, all the darkness in your soul. And then the Holy Spirit is able to then teach you things that will bring out this higher nature. As we embrace the cross, as we embrace the Lord Jesus Christ and the work on the cross, you will begin to experience the Spirit's teaching, His impartation, so that you are able to know what God wants for you to do or to be at this very moment. The Holy Spirit is our teacher. I know when we talk about teacher, some of us, because some teachers you really fear. Some teachers, you dare not ask questions. You know, I used to be very afraid of my teachers because, you know, when I was in primary two, and I wouldn't tell you a bad experience. You know, I was very poor in my math. Now, this is not in my notes. I think the Spirit wants me to. You know, very afraid of my teacher. Very, very scared, you know. And I was very poor in my mathematics. Cannot add, cannot minus. And so one day I remembered, you know, I just couldn't do it. And the primary two teacher in Singapore pulled my ear, you know, until today it still burns, you know. You know, and so I used to be really, really scared of teachers. Really, really scared. But the Holy Spirit is our teacher. I hope we don't carry that experience into our faith and that we get scared asking the Holy Spirit things. The Holy Spirit delights for us to ask Him things because He delights to teach us realities about the spiritual kingdom. How do we do it? We need to pray more. I was just having a mentoring session with my mentor, and I say, I'm going to free up some time. And he says, well, when you free up some time, would you take time to pray more? You see, if you pray more, then you open up your higher nature to receive from God what God wants to give to you. Pray more. Come to prayer meeting. Pray more, because that's when God is able to input into you His wisdom so that you can live out God's story. And the last one is this. When you put Christ as your center, then you're able to, like in what 1 Corinthians 2:15 says, that because the spiritual man is a person not subject to merely human judgments, but that you are able to make judgments, that means that God wants to inhabit you, dwell in you, so that you can make judgment call. You can make judgment call. I stumbled on judgment because I thought it was an E. But then when I saw a lot of the literature was without an E, you can tell me later whether it's without an E or an E. It's probably British and American, yeah? Okay, this is probably American. There's division in the camp. Whatever it is up there. Do not judge me for my spelling. That's what I'm saying. All right. We can make a judgment call. We make decisions every day. And the Holy Spirit doesn't want us to be anxious or flustered. He wants us to be relaxed even when we make important decisions. And no decision is too small for Him to arrive at with us. And the Holy Spirit is our companion. He's within us as a personal power. He has got a will. He is a decision maker. He's got a purpose. He's got a plan. And as we begin to yield our personality to Him, God will help us make judgment calls. God will help us make better decisions. There are some things in our life that we can make better decisions of. And if we ask the Holy Spirit to help us, the Holy Spirit can help us. That's why it's good that we spend time hearing His voice, praying, so that we know how God sounds like, so that when God speaks, then you can make that decision quicker with His help. Begin to learn to sense things in the Spirit. This is a new sound. The preachers told us last week. There's a new sound in the house. And if you want to know how the new sound is like and whether it's from the Lord or not, you need to sense it in the Spirit. And you make judgments call. Don't keep sensing. Oh, I sense. 20 years later, still sensing. Don't do that. Make a judgment call, okay? Because when you make a judgment call and your center is the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified, you will begin to step into things no eye has seen, no ear has heard. I pray that more and more as the Lord begin to reveal deep things to you, as you begin to know who you are in Him, your identity, and as you begin to call out those things that have been deposited into you and make judgment call. I believe last week there were some people that were being prophesied over by Pastor Yin and Pastor Denise. The ball is in your court. Whatever you have heard, the ball is in your court. Seek the Lord out. Ask the Holy Spirit. He's your teacher. He's a good teacher. He's a nice teacher, not the harsh teacher that pull your ear, say, did you not listen to me last week? And no, he's not like that, okay? He's a good teacher. He will listen to you. And then you make judgment call as to what you want to do with your life. A few years ago, just before COVID, I was impressed to spend more time counseling. I took it as a step of obedience, and I took it as a judgment call. I make a judgment call. I sense the need, and then I took a leap of faith. And I must tell you that these 2 years have been a time where I see so many people combined in the last 21 years in my practice. I'm seeing so many people, and I'm so pleased that when I make that judgment call, when I thought I heard it right, that God can use me at this time. That God can use me at this time. I don't know how effective it is, but you know what? We just always take a leap of faith when we hear God in the situation. When you make the Lord Jesus Christ your centrality, when the cross is your centrality, just like Jack Frost, what's in your center? If you can boldly put the Lord Jesus Christ in that center, the Lord Jesus knows best. His Spirit is so free and so competent. He will equip you with every skill and every power that you need to in your life. Trust Him. Put Him as the center of your life. Amen. Amen. Let us pray. God has a story that He wants to play out in this generation. And we are here in this generation to live out that story. Maybe we might be that hero or that unsung hero or that unnamed hero or that nameless hero. Doesn't matter. When we put our center and let Christ dwell in it and God speaks to us and you derive your identity from the Lord Jesus Christ being there in the center, God will begin to speak deep things into your heart. God will begin to teach you spiritual things. And as you take a step of faith, a leap of faith and say, oh God, I can't trust myself, but I know who you are. You know the end from the beginning. You know everything. I'm going to trust myself into you. God will begin to show you great and mighty things. No eye has seen, no ear have heard the things that you are about to do. Father, I pray for your life to be upon every individual right now this morning. When our life touched you, that's when our life finds identity and freedom and competence to do anything that you have put across our path. Father, I just pray that, Lord, you will begin to touch this life. Surrender your life to the Lord in your own way. Tell the Lord, Lord, here I am. This is my center. Activate my center with the Holy Spirit. And that, let me live my life embracing the centrality of the cross. Tell the Lord that. Tell the Lord that. Hallelujah. And dear Lord, I pray, as your people begin to surrender that center to you, oh dear Lord, not just now, but in their lives, oh God, as they begin to seek you, as they begin to seek for wisdom, you will begin to download to them wisdom that is not from human eloquence or articulation, but the Lord that comes from the divine throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for usefulness to come forth in the midst of your people. I pray for that new sound of ministry, new sound of productivity, new sound, dear Lord, of your Holy Spirit's moving in this place to come forth from your people's life this morning. Lord, we give you thanks. You are a wonderful, wonderful God. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord Jesus.